All right, we're going to start with healing for today. And our key verse is, I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord who does what? Heals who? He kind of makes it a little bit personal, doesn't he? I am the Lord that heals you. So again, that kind of knocks out that whole thinking of if it's his will or not. Because who's the you he's talking to? Was he just talking to one person? Well, we know that's not true because Jesus came and healed a whole bunch of people. So if God was just saying, I am the Lord God who heals just you, then once you got healed, nobody else would get healed. Right? So he's saying, I'm the God who heals you. And then he goes on in verse, our second key verse, and ye shall serve. And this is Abad. Be a bondservant, a slave, a worshiper of the Lord your God. You shall serve. You shall what? Be a bondservant, a slave, a worshiper of the Lord your God. When you do that, what's he going to do? He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And what does he say? I will take sickness away from the midst of these. And this is the Old Testament, right? This is Exodus. Man, if God promised this in the Old Testament, and our testament is supposed to be even better promises, he says right here he's going to take what? Sickness away from the midst of us. So does God change his mind? If he told them here in Exodus that he was going to take sickness away, then in the New Testament is he going to give it back to us? I don't think that's a better covenant, do you? Not at all. You know, I used to stand on this scripture a lot of times, especially when I lived in Africa. I'll tell you a couple of interesting stories. One time I was in an open-air meeting. It was a youth service, and I was getting ready to speak about the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was another one of my favorite ones to speak on, especially overseas. And I just got this, like, dry spot in my throat, and I just couldn't get past it. And I was like, you know, and couldn't barely talk. My whole throat just, like, seized up. Have you ever had that happen? I needed some water. And so I'm like, well, somebody ran over to the local puddle and scooped out a little bit of water and handed it to me. So I was like looking at this glass and there's like all kinds of floaties in it, you know. And I was just thinking, now what do I do? So I said, okay, Lord, you said right here you're going to bless my bread and my water and you're going to take the sickness away from the midst of me. And so here we go. And I drank it. And my throat cleared up and I was fine and I didn't get sick. So you have to stand on the Word of God like that, okay? There was another time I was in a communion service in Africa, and there they like to use one cup, okay? Unfortunately, that day I sat on the wrong side of the church because they started on the opposite side. They went down all the aisles, coming back around our side, and the lady sitting on this side of me was hacking, coughing all the service long. So now I'm in a conflict again. Lord, what do I do? This lady, like, puts her whole mouth on this little cup, you know. I'm going to take communion? Well, the whole thing about communion is he takes sickness away from the midst of you, right? So I said, okay, Lord, here we go. And I took communion after her. I passed it to my missionary friend, who was a daughter of the missionaries I was working for. And she did not take a drink out of the cup and pass it to the next person. And I looked at her and she whispered, I think that lady has tuberculosis. She's like, thank you very much. You couldn't have told me before I took communion. But you know what? You have to stand on the Word of God. It's either true or it's not. Right? And we can't be circumstantial. We can't say, well, it's going to work now, but it's not going to work in that situation. You know, I'm taking communion, and that's his blood and his body right there. My sins are forgiven, and sickness and disease has been done away with. So I got to stand on the Word. You know, a lot of people ask, well, why are there just so many miracles, it seems like, in third world countries and things like that? And after some of these experiences of my own, where you don't have doctors and you don't have medicine and you've got a hacking tuberculosis lady next to you ready to take communion, you have to stand on the Word. There's no other way, right? And that's what we have to do in our life. But unfortunately here we're so spoiled that we run to other things rather than developing a strong faith through the Word of God. So we would see a whole lot more miracles if we would have more self-discipline and we would get into the Word and truly believe what God said and follow it through all the way to the end. So that's a really good verse of scripture, especially if you're going to go to the mission field. So remember that one out of Exodus 23:25. And then our third verse is, but he was wounded for our what? Transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we might be healed. We are healed? Is that past tense even? It's already done, already purchased, already bought. Okay, it is a done deal. It's a fact. Healing is there. So now we have to learn, how do then I take hold of this healing? How do I allow healing to manifest in my body if it's already done? Well, how did you receive salvation? We just talked about Romans. By faith, we did what? We believed something in our heart. We believed it so much that we did what? We spoke it out of our mouth. And at that point, we received salvation. So we have to believe something about healing in our heart. We have to be totally convinced it's His will. We have to be totally convinced that He is able. And we have to speak it out. That's how we release our faith. The same way you got saved is the same way that you're going to walk in divine health. Okay? And we're going to look at that throughout this whole lesson today. God is our healer. It's not just that God is in the healing business, but He is the healer. One of His covenant names is Jehovah what? Jireh, which means provider, but also Jehovah Rapha, which means healer. That is the essence of who He is. Okay, let's just imagine for a moment that God is up in heaven, and you're down here on the earth, and you're suffering with sickness and disease, and you call out for healing in your body. Do you think that God has to sit there and think, you know, where did I put that remedy for, you know, tuberculosis, since we're talking about tuberculosis tonight? Does He like go up to the shelves and look through all the healing shelves and say, okay, here's the cure right there for tuberculosis. Let me get a little bit of that and let me just throw it down there to heaven or throw it down there to earth and boom, they're going to be healed. Does God have to go and get healing? He is the healer. He is the source of life. He is the source of health. That's who He is. If we're His children and part of His Spirit is in us, then don't you think He wants us to be healthy all the time? Then that means there's a source of health that abides in us. Isn't there a verse of Scripture that says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead also does what? Dwells in us. And what does it do because it dwells in us? Quickens our mortal bodies. Why? Because He is the source of life. He is the healer. Healing comes from Him. He doesn't have to go get it and send it down to us. That's why I said the most important thing in life is getting a hold of Him. Because once you get a hold of Him, you've got a hold of everything. Once you let Him live big inside of you, it pushes all the other stuff out. He is the source of health. So all I need is Him. When I have Him, I've got the whole source. And I don't have to worry about the sickness and disease. I don't have to go chasing after health and healing. I can live and walk in health and healing if I will spend that time to be in His presence and let Him live through me. So He is our healer. Healing is His idea. It's actually who He is. He authored healing promises. Healing is in His heart. It's His heart's desire. So we said that the promises are always what? Yes and amen. And He gives us the what? Desires of our hearts. And it's His desire for us to be healthy. So it's my desire to be healthy. How many desire to be sick? I mean, nobody desires that unless you're kind of tweaked. You know, you need a little attention or something like that. Have you ever gone down that path? Where you kind of just let your sickness go a little bit farther, and you start getting all mopey, and you start talking about because you need a little attention, a little TLC. Y'all never done that, right? Okay, I'm the only one, I guess. But He gives you the desires of your heart. And truly, in the depths of our heart, we don't desire to be sick. Okay, where does that desire come from to be healthy? It comes from Him because He's living in us. How much can you accomplish for the Lord if you're sick? How much of a witness can you be if you're sick? Okay, so, hello, that, you know, kind of defeats the whole purpose. You have to walk in health so that you can be the most effective for Him. So it's important to take care of our bodies. You and I have nothing at all to do with providing healing, except our part is to do what? What do we have to do? Believe Him. And that was our definition of faith from last week, right? Faith is, the simple faith definition is, believing Him. To walk in health, what do we have to do? Believe Him. Believe that He is the healer. Believe that He wants me healed. Believe that He's living in me. And believe that all sickness and disease cannot stay in His presence. Just like sin cannot stay in His presence, sickness and disease cannot coexist with our Father. Right? So, believe Him and receive it. Remember our definition from part one. We just talked about the broad faith, believing Him. Having no little faith for healing, this is what our next section is. Before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness and there was nothing but prosperity. Is that true or false? Did Adam and Eve ever get sick in the garden? You know, were they even decaying in their bodies? No. Okay? Totally healthy. Prosperity. We're going to look at the definition of prosperity next, not this coming up session, but the session after that. So you can change that note if it didn't get changed. Father clothed Adam and Eve in his glory, and he created everything for them to richly enjoy. He literally created it all for their pleasure. Right? And he put them in the garden healthy. When sin entered in, what did sin do? Sin brought bodily sorrow. Okay, what was the curse that came upon Eve? Who remembers? Ladies? Ladies, what was the curse that came upon Eve? Labor pains. You know, bring forth children with lots of pain to remind you of this issue of disobedience. Men, guess what you get to do when you go out to the fields? The fields got a little bit harder to work than they did before. Okay, work didn't come after the fall because he had already told them to keep and cultivate the garden. He just said, you know what, it's going to be a little bit harder for that ground to yield. You're going to have to figure it out, you're going to have to hoe a little bit harder, and you're going to have to get a little bit deeper. Okay? So when sin came in, things changed. That's what we talk about when we talk about the broken world system that we live in. At that time, things were let loose upon the earth that started causing our bodies to decay, that started bringing sickness and diseases in. Then other things that we've created have complicated situations. You know, I think it was one of my nieces came home from science class one day and she said, did you know that cheese is just one molecule away from being plastic? I was like, huh. Thank you so much. Yes, I do see the resemblance of those little single slices now that I take them out of that little cellophane package. Most cheeses are one molecule away from being plastic. So what are you putting in your body? All that processed food, man, you're just putting plastic right through your system. That doesn't sound too good, does it? And with that, there are complications in life, you know? So there's an enemy, and then we can be our own enemy at times. So all these things came in at the fall. At that same time, we lost that free-flowing provision that Father had intended for man to enjoy. And at that point, that's when the stressful cycle of work to exist began. You know, paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth. You've heard all those expressions? It started right here. This was the point when it all entered in. Before, God had created everything for man to enjoy, and life was great. Sin entered in, and things got difficult. So, now we're in this thing. Sickness and disease, striving, poverty, all those things came when Adam sinned. Everything changed for us when our ancestors fell. But Jesus came for the express purpose to do what? Reconcile all things back to God, to put everything back on track. By the first Adam, sin entered in, death came, sickness came, all those things came. But by the second Adam, and who is the second Adam? Jesus. Jesus brought life back. He gave us the power to be redeemed. He gave us that ability to enter into the abundant life once again. Sin came with the first Adam, and freedom from sin came from the second Adam, Jesus. So through that, God's full provision can come to us. With Jesus' obedience, we have redemption. Redemption means what? Grace, mercy, righteousness, all of those things. And he can actually reconnect us to the flow of life. And that's what happens when our spirit man becomes alive. We actually are hooked back up to the healer, the power source. And if we will just stay connected to him, then healing is constantly flowing to us. If we stay connected to him, then strength is constantly flowing to us. If we stay connected to him, then provisions are constantly flowing to us. Do you see it? The whole thing is about staying connected to him. That's why we don't want you to sin. That's why we don't want you to break the laws of God. Because when you do that, it cuts the flow off from the throne of God, and then your life begins to go downhill from there. Right? You can be saved, your spirit's still alive, you'll still go to heaven, but you're not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. So, Jesus reconnected us to have that more abundant life. Healing and prosperity are not in question. Jesus' substitutionary suffering, the things that he suffered in our place versus his exemplary sufferings, the things that he modeled for us, paid the price and put the provision in store for us. Healing and prosperity are ours. The only question is what? Do you believe him? Do you believe him? And that's what we're going to challenge today. Do you believe him? Even in the Old Testament, Isaiah, we read that passage, and here's an expanded version. It's kind of paraphrased here. He was looking ahead 750 years to the day when Jesus would come and pay that price on the cross And this is what he talked about, the Messiah. He prophesied. He said, his appearance is astonishing. No one was ever so disfigured. He no longer had the appearance of a human being. This is how he will atone for the nations. And who will believe our message? That's the question. Who's going to believe it? In the King James Version, it says, whose report will you believe? You know, when you stand there and you get a report from the doctor, they give you a prognosis. If you break down that word prognosis, it has the root word to prophesy in it. So basically, a doctor is prophesying over you. Based on what he's seeing, based on test results, he's making his best guess at what's going to happen in your body. Isn't that amazing? So he's saying, I'm giving you a prognosis, this is what I believe you have. And then guess what we do? We believe his report, and we follow down the path that the enemy has set up for us. This word out of Isaiah is totally contradicting what a doctor would do, because this is a prophecy that's coming from the mouth of the Lord through his servant. And it says, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the doctor's report that says, yes, because of all these symptoms, this is what you have? Or are you going to believe my report? Yes, you have symptoms, but you are healed. That's what he's telling us all through his word. Yes, there are things that are attacking your body, but you are healed. Can your spirit man get sick? Your spirit cannot get sick. It's perfect. Your mind can get sick, and what do we call that? Mental illness. Your body can get sick, and we call that physical illness. But your spirit can't get sick. And who is the real you? I am a spirit. I have a what? Soul. And I live where? The real me is a what? And the real me can't get sick. Ever. My spirit man never gets a sickness or disease. So that part of the battle right there is revelation of the real me is not sick. What's sick is my soul or my body. And what we need to do is get my soul or my body in line with what God is saying, and I need to start believing his report. And his report says when I stay connected to him, he is going to flow through me, and that healing is going to flow through my mind, that healing is going to flow through my body, and it's going to push all that stuff back out. So whose report are you going to believe? That's what he's challenging us with. He is despised and rejected by men. He is a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He is abandoned, and we did not value or nor regard what he was doing. He was lifted up with our disease. The beast of burden for our pain. Yet we judged him beaten, punished, and brought low by God. That was our future, right? Without God, we were going to be the ones beaten. We were going to be the ones bruised. We were going to be the ones, you know, completely disfigured until the image of God was erased out of our being. That's what the devil had in store for us. But Jesus came in and he stood in the gap between us. And so the enemy did that to him. But when he died and rose again, that was done with once and for all. So that's where we have to stand our ground now and say, no, no longer can the enemy take control of my life because Jesus already took all of that for me. So whose report are you going to believe? You going to believe the report of the enemy lying in your ear? Or are you going to believe the report of the Lord coming from his word? Over and over and over again. So, it says that he was brought low, disfigured, wiping away the image of God. But he was tormented, beaten, and bruised for our what? Rebellion. He was crushed for our perversity. The beatings of our wholeness were upon him. And again, with his stripes we what? Are healed. We were healed. So the question is, do you believe him? Do you believe that's the word of God? Do you believe that you are healed? So do you need to start talking to the mountains to get out of your life of sickness and disease? So whose report will you believe? This is the question. The New Testament word for salvation is what? Soteria. Always means rescue, health, salvation, and safety. We use that word salvation, and we typically only think of one aspect. What do we think of? Just forgiveness of sin. But the word is all-encompassing. That word means rescue, health, salvation, safety. That, again, touches every part of our being, right? So salvation is forgiveness of sin, and it's also being able to walk in divine health. The promise of redemption comes to us from our what? Spirit. That's where eternal salvation hits us. Then it goes to our soul, where we have a lifetime of what? Transformation. Yeehaw, right? Say, nobody told me that when I signed up for this. But we have a lifetime of transformation. We're all in the process. Nobody has achieved perfection. So that should lift a good weight off of your shoulders. Nobody's expecting you to be perfect. We just expect you to be in the process of being perfected, right? And then what happens to our body? We start with health. We move into a divine life of health. And then eventually we're going to have a complete redemption when we get our glorified bodies, and sickness and disease will no longer be able to touch us. So do you believe that? So how can we believe God for salvation from eternal hell and not have the faith to believe God for earthly healing? Do you all believe that you were saved? Do you believe that He forgave you of your sins? So then why can't we believe that we're also healed? Because it was the same act of redemption that did both things. Yeah, because we're hard-headed, right? If you have the ability to believe Him for salvation, then you have the ability to believe Him for healing. It's that same measure of faith. It's that same word that you heard. Okay? It's the same work and promise of God. The healing work of Jesus was accomplished with the redeeming work of Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. The only way that we can split the work of Jesus and the promise of God and make it of no effect is by what? Not believing Him. By choosing to believe what we see in our bodies or someone else's rather than believing God. We can stay sick in the midst of healing promises that are all yes and amen. Why? Because we choose not to believe, right? Remember, we walk by faith, which is believing God, not by sight. So this is how faith and healing interact. So bringing faith home. Home for healing, okay? So what do we do about the issue of healing when we think that we're believing God for the restoration of our health and nothing seems to be happening? Maybe fictionalized and functional run-through will help. So we're going to go through a little scenario here. We're going to see if this kind of talks about where you're at. But first of all, I wanted to talk about something. You know, sometimes when we're standing in faith, things don't happen immediately. We talked about the woman with the issue of blood. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment and immediately she was made whole. I've had instances in my life when I have been immediately healed of things. I used to have asthma. I used to be allergic to all kinds of Novocaine, Xylocaine, Carbocaine, Isocaine, all the cane derivatives that dentists try to use. None of them worked on me because I was allergic to all of them. So I'd always have to go to like an OR and have surgery. They'd have to put me under just to do dental work. I was allergic to penicillin. I was allergic to foods. I was allergic to bees. I had to have a bee sting kit. I was allergic to a lot of things when I was a kid. I lived in Southern California, and there was lots of things there that you can be allergic to. And lots of bees that fly around. But I got saved when I was 16, and shortly after that, I was driving with my youth pastor's wife across from Spokane, Washington to Seattle. And in the midst of it, I had a really bad case of hay fever in those wheat fields, you know? And she's like, she was from Georgia, so she was like, girl, what's wrong with you, you know? I said, well, I got hay fever. She's like, you got what? I got hay fever. I got allergies. She's like, don't you know you've been redeemed from the curse of the law? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is the curse of the law? She opened up, you know, had me get my Bible. She was driving, she had me get my Bible out, open up the book of Deuteronomy and read what the curse of the law was. And it lists out all these diseases and sicknesses and all kinds of stuff. And then it basically says anything, you know. It lists them real specific and then it says all sickness, all disease. It's right there. That's the curse of the law. If you're not walking in the law of God, these are the things that can come on you. So I was like, wow. And allergies, like, one of those things in there. So she said, you've been redeemed. Now turn over to Galatians. So we turned over to Galatians, and it says that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. She said, do you believe it? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, it's right there in the Bible, right? She says, well, then we're going to pray, and you're going to be redeemed from the curse, and we're going to get rid of these allergies. And I said, okay. So we prayed, and I believed, and nothing changed. The next morning I woke up. We started driving back the other direction. It was a quick trip over and back. And she looked at me. She said, girl, you haven't been sneezing all day long. I was like, you're right, I haven't. It didn't happen right at that moment. It happened the next day. That summer, I went on a youth trip. And we were in the middle of Northern California on a bus in the middle of nothing. And we had the windows in the bus down. We're driving along, talking, you know, like teenagers do. And what do you think flies straight in the window, lands on my leg, and puts a big old whelp on me? A bee. I'm not carrying a bee seed kit anymore because I believe that I've been healed. So I sat there, I looked at my friend, and I looked at my leg, and I looked at my friend, and I said, can you believe what just happened? I just got stung by a bee. So in the past, it was, you know, the anaphylactic shock thing where you start breaking out in hives and welts and then your throat starts closing up and you got to run to the doctor within 15 minutes or you die. So I'm thinking, you know, from my past experiences, this is not going to be pleasant. But I have to make a choice now. Whose report am I going to believe? So I calmly got up and I walked to the front and I said, I know that you guys prayed for me and I know that I am healed. But I just want to tell you that I got stung by a bee. And I sort of walked back to my seat. And they said, well, come back. Let's just talk about that a little bit more. Let's anoint you with oil and just pray. And we're going to stand with you in your faith. And I said, okay, fine. So we did. And I went back to my seat and I just put my hand on top of that beast thing. And I just told my friend, just start talking to me. We're not going to pay attention to what's happening right now. So we got to talking and time went by and we stopped to get out to get gas and use restrooms and all that stuff. And I'm jumping off the bus and they're like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, I'm fine. And I'm like thinking, why are they asking me how am I doing, you know? And they said, no, the bee, you know? And so I looked down and there's like a little red dot. Never had any reaction. Over and over again, all those different kinds of allergies that I had, it was tested. It was proven that I was completely healed. Okay? There are situations where you pray, you see it right away. There are situations also when I've prayed and it has been a progressive thing of healing. Do you remember the story of when Jesus had his bad day? I always say that. Jesus had his bad day. And this is the day in Mark chapter 11. It started out when Jesus went to the temple. And what did he see in the temple? A bunch of money changers, right? And so what did Jesus do? He turned over all the tables. He drove them out of there. He was mad. And then he's walking on his way home and there's a fig tree and it's making leaves and so he thinks there's food on that tree and he walks up to the tree and it was lying to him. There was no figs there. So what did he do to the tree? Curse the tree. Man, that was a bad day for Jesus, wasn't it? Turning over the temple and cursing the trees. Nothing happened right then. But the next day when they passed by that tree again, what happened? The disciples said, Master, look at the tree. What had happened? It had shriveled up and had died. And there's a very important part of that verse of Scripture. It says that it shriveled up, it withered up from the roots up. Can you see roots of a tree? That's in the unseen realm, right? But you can see a trunk of a tree and you can see leaves of a tree. True faith speaks to the unseen. When it speaks to the unseen, something happens. But because it's unseen, we don't see it with these eyes. We're still looking at the natural signs. We're still looking at the welts. We're still looking at the tumors. We're still looking at the fever. But if you've spoken in faith, what you have to do is believe that something happened in the spiritual realm at the root of the problem. That's why a lot of times when you hear me pray, especially for sickness and disease, I speak to the root of whatever this is that's causing the fever, whatever it is that's causing what I can see with my eyes. I speak to the root of it and I command it to dry up in the name of Jesus. We speak to the roots of situations. It may take a while for the roots to begin to affect what we see. It was the next day before the tree withered up. So don't be discouraged when you pray in faith and it seems like on the outside nothing happens. You still need to have the faith of God. And that's exactly what that passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 11 talks about right after the fig tree. It says, have faith in God. And it starts talking about if you just would believe in your heart, not doubt, then you could say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. And it will obey you. Have that kind of faith. Speak to the unseen and then stand until it becomes seen. That's what true faith is, right? We don't control the timing of things. The timing of things is in God's hands, right? So we don't control timing, and timing doesn't throw us off. If we're people of faith, we will stand and we'll keep standing and we'll keep standing and we'll keep standing and we will not let our faith be shaken, right? So you have to remember that when we're talking about this little scenario. So here we are. Let's read together the bold words, okay? I'm sick. My head is spinning. My throat's on fire. My stomach's churning. My hair hurts. My whole body aches. I'm dying. Okay, because y'all didn't believe that in your heart, that was not a confession, right? We're not speaking sickness on people right now. In the name of Jesus, we are speaking healing. How many of you have heard yourself say something similar to that? Okay, So that might be an accurate assessment of your situation, right? You are sick. You have all those symptoms. And of course, the outward man is perishing day by day. We already know that. It's accurate. Though, in perspective, it's not correct that you're dying, right? To think it is faith to deny that you're sick or ignore symptoms is only ignorant and dangerous. How many times have we heard stories, especially of parents of faith, who refuse to take their sick kids to doctors and the sick kids end up dying? Okay, that is not faith. What do we say? If you pray and you don't see immediate reactions with kids, then you better take them to a doctor. Right? Wouldn't you rather have your kid live and then increase your faith another day than to have to go through the pain and the guilt of knowing you played a part in the departure of that little one? Okay, so we are people of faith. We pray in faith. But when you're talking about a kid, you don't make those kind of decisions for that child. If there's not immediate results, you get that child to a doctor. You get some help, right? Live to exercise your faith another day. If it's you, you get to make that decision for yourself if you want to live or die, right? But hopefully if you've got a family, you'll do something smart too. If you don't see the immediate results, we said there is no condemnation because we know that the medicine doesn't really heal us anyways, right? The medicine only relieves the symptoms so that we can allow healing to take place in our body, right? It just speeds up the process of healing a lot of times. It just kicks our immune system into order a lot of times. It's not the medicine that really heals us. We still believe that God is healing us. And if God gave the wisdom to somebody to use a certain kind of drug to help the process along, then isn't that okay? Because we're still getting rid of what? Sickness and disease. We're still defeating the enemy. Okay? So don't get confused about that situation. All right. So, we made a fairly accurate assessment of where we think we are. The next step is very important. Right? So, you're going to choose what or who that you're going to believe. At this point, there's two basic players. There's who? The Word of God, God's Word, and your sick body. Just remember that war that we had up here a few weeks ago, the spirit, soul, and body war, right? Your spirit's on one side, your body's on the other, and who's in the middle? The soul, the mind. The mind will side with one or the other, putting you in the hands of the Lord or the devil. If you don't have the Word of God in you, then your soul's going to side with what? Your body, because your body is screaming really loud. But if you've got the Word of God in you, then your soul is going to side with your spirit man, and your spirit man is never sick. It's always healthy. Right? So here we go. Okay, let's read it. Okay, I'm sick, and you're the Lord who heals me. Healing is the children's bread. By Christ's stripes, I've been healed. That's what the preacher said. That's the Word said. And you say it like three times, and that ought to do it, right? Let me say it again. Let me read it again. Okay, I'm sick, and you're the Lord who heals me. Healing is the children's bread. By Christ's stripes, I've been healed. And that's what the preacher said. And that's the Word. And nothing happened. Let's try one more time. I'm still sick. How have you gone down that road before? You heard people speak about healing. In your innocence, in your naivety, you think, okay, all I got to do is say what they said, and then it's going to be okay. Remember, faith is not a formula. Faith is not saying a bunch of magic words. Faith is saying what God has planted inside your spirit man. You have to hear something in here first, and you have to believe it in there, and then you speak it out of your mouth, and that's when miraculous power is released. Okay? So here we go, down our little scenario. How do you feel now? I'm still sick. Well, let's try it again. A little more vigor, you know, a little more volume. Okay, so let's try one more time. You are the Lord who heals me. Healing is the children's bread. By Christ's stripes, I have been healed. How many of y'all been down that road? They're getting a little stronger. I said, devil, healing is mine. You can't take my health away from me. How many have done that? Okay, so what difference did it make that you yelled and stomped your feet? Yeah, you got tired and more sick, right? Now you're wore out. So, how do you feel now? Worse. Now I feel sick and stupid. So one last time, right? I'm sure we'll get it this time. We'll say the right thing with the right, you know, emphasis, with the right amount of times, and we'll get the magic formula to work, and then healing will be ours. So let's say it one more time. Come on, let's get spiritual. Maybe pray and cry a few tears, you know? Use some more spiritual language. You are the Lord who heals me. Healing is the children's bread. By Christ's stripes, I have been healed. Let's say it 6 times. Okay? You are the Lord who heals me. Healing is the children's bread. By Christ's stripes, I have been healed. How do you feel now? Now I got a headache. I think you're getting the point, right? Still nothing. So then what happens? That makes me mad and hurt and worse. It leaves me hurting. It leaves me vulnerable. It leaves me open for the enemy to come and attack and destroy the little bit of faith that I have. Because I'm trying to work a formula instead of letting God birth something out of my spirit man and standing in faith and cursing whatever is in my life, just like Jesus did the fig tree. Right? The devil turns it around. He moves near to you. He sneers with his voice like he always does. And he says, God doesn't care for you the same way he cares for others. You know, that person got up there and told a testimony of how she was healed of allergies. And you prayed that prayer. And you went home and you said, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And you didn't get healed of allergies. God doesn't love you as much as he loves her. Now you heard those lies of the devil. And again, it's because we're trying to work a formula. We're trying to imitate somebody else's experience with God. You have to get alone with him. You have to hear something in your spirit, man. Testimonies do not give you faith. The Bible says faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Now, if in my testimony I use scriptures, then that scripture that I use will bring faith to you. But if I'm giving a testimony, my testimony cannot give you faith. My testimony can inspire your faith. Right? And there's a huge difference. You can't just do what somebody else did and expect the same results. You've got to get a hold of God for yourself. You've got to have that relationship with him. So the devil just says, why don't you just go on to bed, honey? Why don't you just go snuggle up under those covers? Why don't you go get a hot water bottle and put it on your aching back? Why don't you get your stuff and make a little cup of chicken soup? You ever been down that road? You give in, right? And then the enemy's got you right where he wants you. You know, one day turns into 2 days, 2 days turns into 3 days, and next thing you know, you're into depression, and you got a full-blown situation in your life. So, how we turn this thing around? Look at page number 3. We'll talk about this just a little bit more here. There's hundreds of variations, and it's pretty much the scenario that plays out in all of us. We make the mistake of thinking that saying a thing and believing it is the same. Is saying something and believing something the same? No, we already proved that time and time again. You have to do believing in your heart and saying with your mouth, right? So that's one mistake we make. What about the second one? We make the mistake of thinking that there's a faith talking formula to take the place of a lifestyle of believing God. A lifestyle of believing God. Not just, I'm in a pinch, let me go try to figure it out, and now it's going to work for me, right? I have to have a lifestyle of believing God. Here's another one. We make the mistake of thinking that because the preacher says it, that's good enough for us. Well, you got to go get a hold of God yourself. That's the word of God through the preacher man. What is the word to you straight from him? What is he speaking to you? We make the mistake of thinking, We make the mistake of judging the faithfulness of God by surveying our circumstances. We look around us and we say, you know, well, God's not faithful because he didn't do it for me. We make the mistake of setting limits on God as though he was to conform to our wills or on the number of approaches that we will make as though we were to conform to his. We make the mistake also, and this one could be a fatal error, of listening and giving in to the enemy's suggestions. There's a little place for you to write down here. What are some of the mistakes that you have made in the past when asking the Lord to heal you according to his promise? Just take a minute. We said the mistake of thinking that saying something and believing something is the same. The mistake of thinking that there's a faith talking formula. The mistake of thinking that because the preacher said it, well, that's good enough. The mistake of judging the faithfulness of God because of our circumstances, what we can see. Or the mistake of setting limits on God. Or demanding he does it a certain way. Or the mistake of listening and giving in to the enemy's suggestions. So what's the better way? How can we turn this situation around? Let's read that one together on page number 3. After you've written down a few things, it says, let's read it together. Father, I'm not sure why this got through to me, but my body is sick and hurting. As your child, I know nothing gets by you that you have not deemed winnable for me. If this challenge is the result of sin, I ask you to forgive me and set me back up on my feet. That's always the first place to start. Father, if I've opened the door because of something I've done, if there's a sinful situation in my life and that's allowed the enemy to attack me, then let's get that door shut. Right? I ask you to forgive me. That's where we start. You know, sin can be there because we've abused, overindulged, or deprived our bodies. Right? Things that we've done. If we have not been faithful to sleep, to eat right, to exercise, then we have to ask forgiveness for that. And God will heal us. Okay? So some of those things that we bring on ourselves, a lot of our sickness and disease is simply dis-ease, you have no more ease anymore, right, would be done away with if we just use common sense. It's also the place to begin when we ignore Bible directives of how to care for our bodies with proper diet and balanced work, exercise, recreation, rest, sleep, routines. We never break God's laws. They always break us somewhere, right? But even when we are the source of our own troubles, does Father say, well, you know what, you brought it on yourself, so tough luck, you're going to have to just tough it out? No, we can still go and we can still ask for mercy, right? Mercy is getting what you don't deserve, right? He has mercy on us if we'll just go to him and say, you know what, I didn't take care of myself, and that's a sin issue, and I just ask you, Father, to forgive me. I didn't walk in your ways. And he forgives, and when he forgives, we're reconnected to him. When we're reconnected to him, then we have the source of health flowing into our lives once again. So, let's try this one, okay? Father, if this challenge is because of sin that I don't see, please show me. I want to ask your forgiveness and receive the power to repent of, turn around my actions, right? Sometimes we know right off the bat, yeah, that's where I missed it. So just call it out and get rid of it. But maybe there's a situation where there is a sin issue, but you're just blinded to it. Have you ever had one of those? And you had to have a brother or a sister help point it out? Or you had to go to the Lord to ask him to reveal it? Okay? So there are things that we don't recognize and we need help with. Sometimes they're cultural issues. Sometimes they're habits. Sometimes they're different tastes. Sometimes they're immaturity issues. All those kind of things that Father wants to deal with. When we won't respond to the Spirit's leading, he pulls us back. He pulls back his supernatural protection, and we see and feel the result of that sin. Circumstance leading us. That is not the best way. What is the word right after that? Yuck. In this instance, we have need to see, so in wisdom we can pray, open my eyes. There was a pastor, B.B. Hankins, used to always say, God's going to lead you by revelation or by circumstance. And then I used to always add in, choose revelation. God is always leading us. His first and highest and best way to lead us is just by revealing things to us. But you know what? If you're so hard-headed and you're so close-minded that you're not listening to him, he will allow you to go down that path for a while, but eventually he will say, you know what? My hands are off, and then circumstances will come in and you'll finally be broken. The Bible says that you can either fall on the rock or else what's going to happen? The rock will fall on you. Much better to fall on the rock. Okay? Much better to be led by revelation. But if you're so hard-headed, then yeah, circumstances, he'll use those too to get your attention because he wants you to have a better life. Think about this in Numbers. There's the passage of scripture that talks about Numbers 21, verses like 4 through 9. It talks about how they had come out of Egypt, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, the journey was getting hard, and they started complaining. And they started saying, Moses, we don't like this food that you're giving us. We don't like this manna anymore. We don't like these quail anymore. We don't like the water that comes out of the rock. This is hard. We don't like it. We want to go back to Egypt. And right there, you know what it says? That because of their complaining spirit, God let loose fiery serpents. Now, does that mean that God had a bunch of poisonous snakes up in heaven and he threw them down on top of the children of Israel? No. Okay? He let them loose. You can look into the way that this is in the Hebrew, but basically this is the idea. Okay, they were walking in the desert, right? Are there snakes in the desert typically? Are there scorpions in the desert? But God was miraculously protecting them, right? He had the cloud by day. He had the fire by night. He had a hedge of protection around his people. They were walking through the desert. Nobody was getting bit by poisonous snakes and dying. We don't hear any accounts of that until they started murmuring and complaining. And then God did this. Okay, guys, you want to murmur and complain? I'm taking a step back. When he took his step back, then what happened? All those fiery serpents ran in because there was no more protection. People died that day. People died because murmuring and complaining, because God lifted his hand of protection off of their life. What was the remedy? Well, immediately people started repenting. We've sinned. Well, yeah, hello. People are dead. You sinned. But they started repenting and they came to Moses. Intercede for us. You go to God. They didn't have the relationship, right, that we do in the New Testament. And Moses had a compassionate heart, and he interceded for the people, and God told him, take a bronze serpent, put it up on a pole, and put it in the middle of the camp, and those who have been bitten, if they come and they gaze attentively, steadfastly, gaze at this serpent on the pole, they will be able to be healed. It wasn't just a glance, you know? Here's the bronze serpent on the pole, and they just kind of glance by and look at it, and they're going to be healed. It wasn't like a magic thing, right? He said, you have to come. You have to set your eyes on this. And later on, we see that this was a type or a shadow of Jesus, Jesus being on the cross, right? I don't know why they used a serpent, okay? We can ask God about that. I know some of you are thinking that. Why was it a snake on the pole? If you look at, does anybody have little medical tags? What is it? The symbol there? You ever wonder where that came from? I always wonder if it came from this. You know what these people did? They came, they gazed, they were healed. They were so excited that God moved this way that they kept that little bronze thing on that pole. And eventually, if you read over in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 4 on, you'll see that these people got so attached to this thing that when Hezekiah became king, he actually had to cut it up in pieces because they had started burning incense to it. You know what? That's what we do in our lives too, right? God moves in a miraculous way. He tells us to do something unusual, something new. We receive a healing, and therefore we try to imitate and repeat that same way to get our healing the next time, right? And then it becomes a ritual. It becomes a religious symbol. It becomes something that has no substance, no life, and it brings nothing to us except for death and destruction. Those people got so attached to that symbol. God probably only meant for it to be used that one time. But they kept on using it and using it and using it and thinking, if I just stare at this snake, I'm going to be healed. It's not a formula, right? It's getting a hold of your Father and finding out what he wants to do in your life. So, God, open my eyes. If there's a hidden sin, show me what it is. I want to turn. I want to repent. Okay? These people were murmuring and complaining. They didn't realize that they were sinning against God until people dropped dead. We don't want people to drop dead. We want to have soft hearts. When we do something against the Lord, that our hearts are pricked, that our conscience is, you know, told that you've done something wrong, and we want to be quick to repent, quick to turn around. So, I'm going to skip over that last little note. You can read that on your own. But let's look at the next one on page number 4, the bold words. It says, Father, let's read it together. Father, if this is an assault of the devil or of circumstances in my life, I ask you to rebuke him or them for my sake, and to glorify yourself in this momentary trial in my life. So sometimes physical assaults come and we have absolutely nothing to do with them, right? And the example that we give here is Job. Job was a righteous man. Now there was a little issue that he did fear that his kids were going to have a party and do some wrong things, so he used to always make sacrifices for him. The enemy could have slipped in through that door of fear. That is true. But basically Job himself was a righteous man. And we know what happened to his life. All of his kids perished. His wife started nagging him. He got boils on his body. He was miserable and sick. All of his wealth was stripped away from him. And he learned a huge lesson through that book, that it was not God. It was the devil, right? The enemy came and smote Job. That's exactly what the Bible says. But people use that passage of Scripture and say, well, you know about Job, man. God just struck him down, killed all his kids, took all his wealth. God did not do that. That trial came into Job's life, but God knew that Job did have the substance to stand, and that's why he allowed that trial to come. And in the end, what happened? After Job had that revelation, and he forgave the people who were speaking evil against him, he prayed for them. Immediately, what happened? God restored double, twofold, back to his life what he had before. Okay? So sometimes things come into your life for no reason. It could be sin. It could be sin that's not revealed to you. And it could just be because you're serving God. And there's an enemy that's trying to defeat you. So you always start, if something's wrong, check yourself. Father, is there a sin issue? Then let's deal with it. Let's repent so I can reconnect with you and sin can be removed. Because if there's a block, the sin is between me and God. He's trying to flow into my life, but I've got sin. Guess what? He's not going to be able to get through that sin. That's why I have to confess and repent. When I get it out of my life, then the flow of healing, of life, can come back to me again. And then my health is going to spring forth. So here we are in this situation. Sometimes it just happens because the enemy is against us. Look at this scripture in 1 John 5:13-15. It says, I have written to you that believe. I have written to who? You that believe. Believe on what? On the name of the Son of God. That you may know. That you what? That you have eternal life. And that you may what? Believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. How many of you want to have confidence when you pray? And confidence literally means what? All outspokenness. I want to have confidence that when we have that we have in Him, that is, we ask anything according to what? His will, not my will. His will, and what happens? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, then what happens? We know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. This is the confidence that I can have in praying. If I ask anything according to His will, well, what is His will? How do I know what the will of God is? I can't know what His will is unless I talk to Him. I can't know His will unless I read His Word. A lot of His will is already determined right here. Is it His will that any should perish? No. So that means we can pray salvation for every person. Now, whether they receive it or not is their own personal choice. But we can pray for everyone. We already dealt with the issue of predestination, right? We are actually all predestined for salvation, but not everybody's going to make the choice because the price has already been paid. The salvation is there. We just have to take hold of it. Same with healing. The healing's already been provided. We just have to learn how to take hold of it. So how do I know what the will of God is? I either have to hear it straight from Him or I have to read it in His Word. So after hearing some scriptures today, do you believe it's God's will for you to be healed? So then this is the confidence that I have. When I pray for healing, because that's according to His will, then He's going to hear me. If He hears me, then I've got the answer. Whether I see it with these natural eyes, whether I feel it with this body or not, I've spoken to the roots of that situation, and the roots have already begun to wither up. I just can't see them. And then eventually, the rest of the tree is going to fall down dead. Amen? But the timing of that is not up to me. The timing is all His. So, let's read the bold ones again. I know that your divine will and provision for me is that I be well. The price was paid so that I could be whole, thoroughly furnished and equipped for every good work. So I look to you, Father, for all I have need of. I receive your provision for me in Jesus. As your child, I live by and I will die by your hand alone. So go ahead and name two or three sources of sickness that make their way into our lives. What are two or three ways that can be a source of sickness? And then when you finish that one, there's a second one. What is the Father's divine will for us concerning sickness and disease? What is His will for us? So there's two critical steps left. First, we have to entrust ourselves to the Lord, saying something like, Father, manifest my health according to your divine will. And we already know what the will is, because He is the healer. Yes, make an assessment of your situation. Are you restored? Are you well? Are you hurting? Are you weak? But remember that it's only an assessment. That only tells you whether or not healing has come or healing is still on the way. That's what you have to believe. Either my healing has already manifested or my healing is somewhere in the process and it's going to manifest at any moment. That's what a believer has to stay in faith, a good confession about. Well, I guess it didn't happen. I prayed. I'm still sick. Well, guess what? You just threw your faith down the drain. When you pray and nothing happens, you say, my healing is in process. The roots have already started drying up, and health is springing forth in my body. And that's when you can start rejoicing. Remember our little saying? Faith does what? Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Right? Okay, think about it this way. When you use medicine, when a doctor prescribes you medicine, typically he says, okay, you got to take these 50 pills, take two a day with water, whatever, whatever, right? And take the whole thing, right? How you started a prescription, you started feeling better, and then you quit. And then you got sick again because you didn't do the whole thing. How does medicine work? Do I just take one pill and boom, instantaneously I'm healed? It's a process. I have to take it. I have to take it according to instructions, and I have to take it all the way until it's done. Right? The Bible, the Word of God, is like medicine to us. You can write down these scripture references and look. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, says that the Word of God, give attention to the Word because it's going to be health to your body. Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Same thing. When you get the Word is like medicine, okay? The Word of God is like medicine. It's not just that you're going to read one scripture and boom, now I've got it. I don't have to take my medicine anymore. You take the Word in, and you take the Word in, and you keep taking the Word in, and keep taking the Word in, and keep taking the Word in. You never quit taking the Word in. Even when you feel good, you take the Word in. Because the Word of God is medicine. It brings health to you. It brings health to your body, health to your bones, okay? So we do it just like that. It's a process. There's no miracle pill that's just going to heal you all at once. The Word of God, again, yes, there can be instantaneous healings through the gifts of the Spirit. But more times, it's a process. The elders, the people, they'll lay hands on you, and what will happen to the sick? They shall recover, right? That tells me there's a process. They shall recover, whether it happens right now, next week, next month, doesn't matter. It's going to happen. You just have to stay in faith until it's fully manifest in your body. So, what about this? Have you ever ordered something online? How many people have ordered something online? Okay, how many people ordered something online, you put your credit card information here, you click the button, submit, and it gave you back a confirmation number? How many of y'all did that? How many of you went immediately to your front door and opened it to see where the package was? How many of you found a package there? I want to know where you're ordering online. How many of you got mad because the package did not show up within 5 minutes? How many of you got mad because the package didn't show up even maybe overnight? You picked the cheapest way, you know, 5 to 10 business days. And you look the next morning and think it's going to be there. How many of y'all did that because y'all are laughing. How many of you complain about that company because they're no good? You put your credit card information in, you hit the button, you've got a confirmation number, and it's not doing its job. There is no package on my front door. You don't do that, do you? You actually have faith in that company that they're going to deliver when they said, and the timing's up to them, right? Well, why is it that we can have faith in an online company, but we can't have faith in God? That we take His word, we hit the submit button, we get the confirmation back over and over and over again right through here. I'm the Lord who's healed you. Healing is my will. By His stripes, I was healed. Confirmation. Pouring in. But yet we get upset when it doesn't show up in our time. Okay? That's just an earthly example. How do you go to work every day? How do you get paid every day? You work and they pay you? Just one. So she doesn't have a walk in faith. No. But you know what? That's faith, right? We go to work. We work our job. We put in our 40 to 60 hours. We go home. We come back the next day. We work another day. You know? And we don't get paid. maybe every 2 weeks, maybe once a month, maybe once a week. But we have faith that they're going to send us a check after we've done the work. See, we have all kinds of faith. It's the same kind of principles, but we need to start applying those to the Word of God. We need to start applying those to spiritual things, right? Let's look up on page 5. Page 5 in James, there's a verse of scripture there. It says, count it all what? Joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Because the trying of your faith, which is believing God, works what? Endurance. And let endurance have her way, that you may be mature and whole, lacking nothing. How many of you want to be mature and whole and lacking nothing? Well, how do we get there? By endurance. And how does endurance happen? By believing God in the midst of trials. You don't have endurance without a tribulation, right? There has to be a trial for you to endure through. When you endure, then you're going to be made whole, that you're going to be perfect. You're not going to lack anything. So that's why we can have joy. Because we're not looking at the trial. We're looking beyond the trial. We're seeing that, you know what, once I get on the other side of this, I'm going to be a whole lot better person than I am right now. So I can have joy in the midst of this. It says, if any of you lack wisdom to endure, let them what? Ask how? In faith, believing God, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like what? A wave of the sea which is driven by the wind, tossed to and fro, it says. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. This verse of scripture always reminds me of scuba diving. It says, count it all joy when you enter into diverse trials, temptations. And our mind cannot comprehend that. Why in the world would I think it would be a joyful thing to be tried? Okay? There's this thing in scuba diving, it's called blue cheer. How many of you ever heard of it? When you begin to scuba dive and you go down underneath the water begins to put incredible pressure on your body. The pressure on your body causes endorphins to be released into your system. How many of you know what endorphins are? Endorphins are the happy chemicals. Those are the ones you want running through your body. They make you really happy. Okay? Well, these scuba divers started seeing this phenomenon that when they would go and they would get squeezed under this pressure, they would come up and they would be like just the happiest people in the world. And the deeper they went, the better they were. But after a while, their bodies would get used to that depth. And they would have to go a little bit deeper the next time to have that same kind of experience. And it was like an addiction. And so they started calling it blue cheer. So if we can think about that in a spiritual way, that when we enter into trials and the pressure comes on us, God is going to release joy in us. Count it all joy. The joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. We're going to have strength to go through. But once we've conquered that level of trial and we've endured there, guess what has to happen? Darn, yeah, you got to go a little bit deeper next time to get that same kind of joy released in your life, right? Without trials, joy would be meaningless. We wouldn't even know what joy is, right? I heard this saying one time, if life was always sunshine, we'd be a desert. Who wants to be a desert? There's got to be some rain sometimes. There's got to be some storms sometimes. There's got to be some trials sometimes. So you can experience greater joy based on the depth of your trial. How do you want to experience greater joy? Everybody's not, well, I want to, but I don't raise my hand because that means I'm going to have a greater trial. But the Word of God says also, let's keep on reading that next one. God is faithful, right? By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's faithful. Why is he faithful? How is he faithful? We got to read the next scripture in Corinthians. There hath no temptation taken you but what? Such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, how? Above that you are able. But will with the temptation also do what? Make a way to escape. That he may be able to bear it. That you may be able to bear it. We may be able to bear it. Right? I can count it joy because I know God's doing a work in me when I go into a trial. There can be an incredible release of joy. And when I release that joy in my life, then I'm going to have strength to get through that trial. I know that every trial that comes against me is a trial that somebody else has already faced. Because right there it says, there's no temptation but that which is common to man. There is nothing that is coming against you that hasn't come against somebody else. But what the enemy will do is try to isolate you and make you feel like nobody else has ever endured the thing that you're enduring. He'll isolate you to get you away. Do you remember the story of the charcoals? Or like pieces of fire? Have you ever been at a campfire and you took one piece of wood, or the wood kind of fell apart and a log rolled to the side? What happens to that piece of wood that rolls to the side and doesn't stay connected to the rest of the fire? What happens if you take one charcoal out and put it on the concrete away from the rest? Okay? What happens in Africa when lions want to hunt? They get one off away from the herd and attack. That's what the enemy will try to do. Make you think that your situation is unique. Because when you think your situation is unique, you pull yourself away from the rest of the body. When you pull yourself away from the rest of the body, you don't have the heat to stand in that trial. You don't have the protection of the rest of your brothers and sisters. So that's how the enemy comes against us. But it says God is faithful. He's not going to let anything come against you that you're not able to win. So you know what? God has a whole lot more faith in us than we have in ourselves. Right now, in the midst of whatever you're going through, God believes in you. He believes you can make it. He believes you can overcome. He believes that you can experience an incredible joy right now in your life. He believes that whatever's pressing on you and causing pressure on you is going to make you endure, and that's going to cause you to become more whole. It's going to cause you to become more like Him, to be mature, lacking nothing in your life. That's what we have to think about when trials come our way. We have to first, number one, say, you know what? God wouldn't allow this to come unless He knew I already have a way to make it through. And even better than that, it says that He has a way of escape. How many of you are like running around trying to find the way of escape? You're checking every door, every handle, every latch. But you don't need to be in a panic and you need to run around. All you got to do is sit down and say, okay, Father, there is a way of escape here, but you got to show it to me. Where is the way out? It's all about relationship with Him, right? There's a sickness that keeps persisting. Then I need to sit down and I say, okay, Father, I know sickness is not from You. What is it? Where's the problem? What's the situation? How do I need to proceed forward? When I line up and I get in faith and I release my prayer of faith, then I stand and I thank God until it's manifest in my body, right? This is how we deal with situations because we're people of faith. We're going to stop right there. There's some really good notes that keep on going down here. Let's look at actually page 6. Here's a progression of standing in faith for your healing specifically. First of all, recognition. I have a problem and my Father has the answer, right? He's got the answer. So that's what I recognize. Yes, there is a problem. But the other side of that recognition is He's got the answer to the situation. Research. I will ask if there's any reason for this in me. Repentance, if necessary. I will receive my forgiveness and I will turn around. Reliance. Into Your hands I commit myself. I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. And then return. I will go my way believing, regardless of how I feel or what it looks like, to my natural eyes, because I know my Father and I know that He is faithful. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've talked about that, but there's some good notes in that section too. And then let's just talk about those 16 things right there. Faith for healing can come. It also can go. What are the things that defeat our faith? One, the ignorance of God's Word. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Unbelief. He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Accepting the words of men over the Word of God. God gave you this sickness. Sin, alive in our hearts. Your sins separate us. No diligent search for the Lord. Apathy is a killer. Unforgiveness in our hearts when we pray. When you pray, forgive that you may be forgiven of your sins and be healed. Walking by sight and not by faith. Just the opposite of walking in the Spirit. Faith without works, which is dead. Once you pray, believe and act like a believer. 9, husband and wife in strife. It actually says, 1 Peter 3:7, it says, your prayers are not answered when there's strife in your relationship. 10, breaking natural laws and common sense over and over again. 11, limiting father's response to you. I'll only accept healing if it comes this way. God can bring healing to you lots of different ways. He can work a miracle. He can give you a gift of healing. Somebody can come up with special faith and lay hands on you. You can have hands laid on you and feel a tangible anointing. You can have hands laid on you and not feel anything at all, just by faith. Somebody can be interceding for you. The elders can come and anoint you with oil. You can get somebody to pray a prayer of agreement with you. You can pray for yourself. You can use the name of Jesus. Just your knowledge of redemption, like I had from the curse of the law, can cause you to be healed. God can bring healing to you lots of different ways. So don't limit God. Fear can cause you to stay in sickness. Living in a bad previous experience. It didn't work last time. The perceived benefits of sickness. We touched on this. Some people have a situation where they like being sick because of the attention. Maybe they like being sick because they fake an injury and say that they're handicapped and they get a scam of money from insurance, right? They want to rest. They want to go home on sick leave. Or avoidance. Some people curl up and get sick and they want to avoid situations, right? Those are all lures that can have serious consequences for our lives. 15 is self-rule. It's my body. I'll do whatever I want. 16, pride. I don't want anybody to know. I'm just going to try to hide that I'm sick because then they're going to think I'm unspiritual. Nobody's going to think that. So what are the ways to let healing in? Find a believer and let them lay hands on you. Call for the elders of the church. Find someone who can agree with you. Ask in Jesus' name. Take communion to rightly discern the Lord's body, which was broken for you. Walk in faith, believing God for health that Jesus provided at the cross. God promised, Jesus provided. We were healed at Calvary. If we were healed then, we are healed now. And believing God means we receive what He says is done as done. It's a new and living way. Walk in it. And that's something to cheer up about. Right? There's a lot of responses for truth. These are kind of like personal things that you can answer. I encourage you to do that on your own. But let's take a little break, and then we'll come back and see if there's any comments or questions. We'll go ahead and start with just questions. Does anybody have any questions about the lesson tonight on healing? Yes. Okay. The question is, what does it mean by children's bread? There is a passage of scripture, I think it's a Syrophoenician woman, right, that comes to Jesus. And there's the scripture where she says to him, well, even the children eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Okay. And basically, she was not a Jew. And so what they were saying is, you know, everything was for the Jews. Salvation was for the Jews, healing for the Jews, because Jesus was a Jew. You know, it's all us, and this can't go any farther. And she was outside of the Jewish, so she was Gentile, right? And she was saying, healing's even for me, because even the dogs, actually dogs, it's not children, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the table. So there's other scriptures that talk about healing, like bread. So healing is a children's bread. That means that it belongs to us, even though we're not technically Jewish. We're children of God, and we can have that same benefit. Yeah, good question. Anybody else have a question? Okay, the question is, how do we justify then Christians becoming doctors? You know, since sickness, we're saying, then is from the enemy, healing comes from God, what does a doctor do? He speeds up healing. So is a doctor not doing, the elders of the church are there to pray and anoint people with oil, pray a prayer of faith, anoint people with oil? Are they doctors? Maybe or maybe not, right? We don't know what profession they have. They don't have to be a doctor to be an elder. Okay, one is, you could say, maybe more dependence on faith than the other, right? If I go and I have the elder praying for me and anointing me with oil, then there is a certain level of faith. I have faith that this is the way that God has told me to receive my healing this time, right? If I go to a doctor, does it mean I don't have faith? No. Am I still believing that God is the healer? But my body is suffering and I'm going to die. So why can't I go then and get a little help to get this healing going? Okay, there's actually a little example in here that we skipped over. A person takes an aspirin to get rid of a headache. Did the aspirin actually get rid of the headache? It alleviated the problem. It just masked the symptom, right? Okay, if a person has a problem with lust and they're watching television and a lustful program comes on and they turn the channel to avoid temptation, do we condemn them? Why did they turn the channel? To avoid lust, the situation. If my faith is not working and I have a headache and I take an aspirin, what I'm doing is I'm masking a symptom to get relief so that I can fight the fight. Now, if I become dependent on that stuff, then that's a problem, right? If I always run to that stuff, then that's where the problem comes, just like anything else. But if I'm trying to get relief so that I can learn how to fight the good fight of faith and stay alive, there's no condemnation in that. So a doctor is just simply coming up with creative ideas and ways of how to combat sickness and disease. And one of the big ones, like Oral Roberts University, used to have, you know, that City of Faith was a whole hospital, you know, with the hands. Remember that? That's when I was there. They had that City of Faith, and they had a medical, whole medical school. And what they would do is they would train up these medical doctors, but they encouraged them, you better be seeking God to make the right prognosis, to come up with the right situation, to, you know, get some breakthroughs in medicine, because it's Him who's giving revelation anyways, right? And then they, after they would finish school, they would have to go to the mission field for like 4 years or something like that, work as a doctor out in the mission field, and then they could come back. It was a really neat program. Did that answer your question? Okay, Ben and then Frankie. I'll give you a little testimony of, you know, I gave you the testimony how I was healed of allergies, you know, just by believing the Word of God. Well, here's another situation, different circumstances, kind of around what we're talking about. When I was in Africa, I was taking malaria prophylaxis. That was supposed to, you know, prevent me from getting malaria. But because there's so many different strains and I had traveled, I went to a different region, and the medicine I was taking didn't work in that region, I ended up getting malaria. Okay, I prayed and we got through, and I took a cure because it was not fun. So I didn't believe in the medicine. I believed God, but I needed some relief because it was a very terrible thing to have. Well, years later, I got it the second time. And when I got it the second time, I didn't realize for a while that I had it. I just started feeling really drained physically. And then all of a sudden, you know, one day I wake up and my bed is just soaked because you just sweat so hard. You have this incredible fever that it just drenches everything. I felt like somebody poured like a barrel of water on top of me while I was sleeping. And then you get chills, like you put on every single piece of clothes that you have and you're just like shaking like this. And then your body just starts aching. You can't sit down because it hurts. You can't stand up because it hurts. You get dizzy. You vomit. I mean, it is really miserable. What it does, it pops all the red blood cells in your body. Okay, and then your kidneys start shutting down. You start turning yellow, you know, all that kind of stuff. And some missionaries had brought a waterbed to Africa. Like, is that the weirdest thing in the world or what? And no heater. You know how uncomfortable it is to sleep on a waterbed that doesn't have a heater in it? Your body, you know, you wake up aching because that sucks all the life out of you. So I hated that thing. So I took that waterbed out, but I still had that waterbed frame and just a mattress down on the inside of it, just a piece of foam basically. And my friend hadn't seen me because I could not get out of bed. I couldn't get out of bed. So they finally came and checked on me after a few days of not seeing me. And she's like, oh my gosh, you look like you're in a coffin, you know. You're yellow and you're dying. I'm like, I know I am. Nobody even came over to see me, you know. And I mean, it was just so, so miserable. And the missionaries didn't believe that I was sick. So they didn't have anything, you know, any doctor check on me or anything like that. And so I progressively got worse and worse and worse. Where I was yellow, and I mean, it was just really, really awful. The only relief I could get was I had this cassette tape, and it was all praise music, but it was healing scriptures being sung. And I would put that cassette thing in, and I would just over and over and over again just play it, just loop it, and it would just play and play and play, and that was the only way I could get any relief. And eventually, you know, literally I was dying. I was praying, I was praising, I was doing everything that I knew how to do to receive my healing, but I was not getting any better. So finally, they tested my blood, and sure enough, I was like at, you know, phase 4 out of 5 phases. And I ended up having to take a series of 10 shots, 2 a day for 5 days. And that was the thing that got me through that situation. So, yeah, I could be stupid and just say, well, my faith is going to make me through, you know, and I probably would have ended up dead. Or I can say, okay, let me take the medicine because, God, you're still my healer, but somehow I'm not connecting with you. And I don't want to die right now, and especially not like this. So I got better. You know, it took me months to gain my strength back. To get back into the classroom, I had to sit down teaching. And you guys know I don't typically sit down. I move around a lot and kind of get crazy. But I had to sit down because I could hardly walk because I was so lightheaded. I lost like 25 pounds just boom like that overnight because it just totally destroys your body. So, you know, everybody always says, well, once you have malaria, it's always in your blood. You're never going to get rid of it. And that's where, again, I had to stand in pain and say, no way. Because they say if you get overtired, it'll just relapse. And I've had my blood tested since for other things, and there's no sign of malaria in my blood. So I can't give blood, though, because I lived in Africa, and so that part I can't do, even though there's no malaria in there. So my faith worked on one side, but it obviously wasn't working to get me out of the coffin bed on the other side. You know, so you just have to go and still believe. No matter what happens in life, you know, you still believe He is the source of healing. Anybody else? I mean, He can heal warts, too. When I was a kid, that was like the first thing that I used my faith on. I had this wart right here, and I hated that thing. You know, I'm in high school. It's a nasty old wart. And you try Compound W and all that kind of stuff, and it would fall off and come back and fall off and come back. And then, you know, my youth pastor gave a message about healing, and so I thought, well, I'm going to use my faith on that wart. And I just put a Band-Aid on top of it, and I said, I'm not going to look at it because I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I took things real literal. And so I put a little Band-Aid on there, and I would pray over that thing every day. And eventually, one day, the Band-Aid fell off, and there was no wart, and it never came back. You know? So start out with wart faith and work your way up to... I guess I never got to malaria faith. So my faith is somewhere in between there. But seriously, you know, sometimes we don't believe God for even little things because we think it's a little thing. But we need to use our faith on everything in our life because He wants us to live an abundant life. All right, well, time is up, and that's the lesson for today.